Welcome to T-Lab Political Roundtable. I'm your host, Ryan Christian, and with me, as always, is Tim Bryant and Jay the Explorer from his undisclosed location. Well, not only is the idea of globalization no longer being named a wild conspiracy theory, but now China is promoting its own divergent agenda from that of the Western goals and is openly naming it Globalization 2.0. The U.S. continues to boast its America First policy, if only in name, as it progresses the current world war that is not a war on every front. The NSA just announced it will now, once again, no longer be collecting Americans' data. Feel free to laugh. And a false flag that was not only exposed, but stopped before it could take place. That and much more today on T-Lab Political Roundtable. So China and Russia are starting a new globalist agenda of their own and selling it as the, as James Corbett put it, the flowering of peace. They are literally calling it Globalization 2.0, with one of the primary objectives to create an alternative financial infrastructure to the SWIFT network and the Washington Consensus, which is essentially advocates for free trade, floating exchange rates, free markets, and macroeconomic stability. Is this meant to be a jab at the deep state? Is it even genuine? And more importantly, is this likely just as ominous and cringeworthy as the Western-led globalist movement? What are your thoughts, Jay?
Probably all the above, although we don't seem to see quite the aggression and the Satanism coming out of the Eastern world. They seem to be more doing what they say they're going to do. It does look like a jab at the deep state, although you gotta think deep state has their hooks in pretty deep into China, if not Russia. It's really hard to tell what's going on beneath the surface. There certainly is an appearance of them being more legitimate and less outright evil than what we have in the West. So I suppose it's one of those wait and see things. It could always be something that is completely good and genuine and loving and wonderful right now, and then 5 years from now, perhaps it'll be corrupted into just more the same New World Order sort of thing with just a different flavor on top of it.
Yeah, I kind of have mixed feelings. You know, on one side, I do think having the world is becoming more globalized in general. I think that's an inevitability as technology gets better. We're traveling across lines. We're exchanging currency across lines. Even if you want national sovereignty amongst countries, you're still going to need some, in my opinion, some type of infrastructure. So, you know, globalization with, you know, malevolent aims is not the worst thing in my personal opinion. But I would say, you know, it seems a little bit more malevolent, but that doesn't mean that it's like freedom, you know, freedom for everyone and democracy and the will of the people. You know, China's not exactly, you know, the land of the people either. I don't think this is like some savior, but is it a little better? I mean, I don't know how we could get much worse than the U.S. Western-led coalition. So I would hope that it's a little better. It doesn't seem as satanic and as militaristic per se. You know, having some type of global, you know, structure where we come together and talk about issues that are bothering the whole world. I mean, I think that's somewhat natural, but I do think it's nice to at least see something in place to kind of combat the Western dominance.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we should be hopeful for. As we always say, I mean, it doesn't matter what we're looking at, if it's even possible that we could be led into a more prosperous and successful, you know, moment in time for human history, that would be definitely positive. But you're right. I think all the points you brought up there are very relevant and sadly very, very true. And, you know, I think for me, this comes back to the essence of what we always talk about. The real issue, the crux of the issue here is that government in general, authority, is a problem for any free human being. And that is something that we have been conditioned for so long to see as almost un-American or just unnatural. But the reality is that, like we kind of talked about on our Down the Rabbit Hole show, is that it comes back to the idea that everything we start with in our logic stems from the idea that government is supposed to be knowing what's best for us and protecting us and guiding us. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. I mean, really, it's the same thing we saw with the Trump administration, where a lot of people were waking up to the fact that the current you know, structure in the United States was not functioning properly in its political sense. And yet we all, a lot of people got sold right back into the Trump train and are now being deceived once again. And we're essentially exchanging one problem for another. And I mean, I'm not, like Tim said, it's possible that it could be a positive step, but we just don't know. And I don't think we should be exchanging any government authority for another. I just think that this is just, in my opinion, this is just the switch, the pivot to something away from what's clearly failing to the same solution hidden in another way. I mean, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, clearly we always hope for the best, but yeah, that seems ominous to me. In other related news, Shanghai Cooperation Organization is an alliance of Eurasian Balkan states that began in 1996, is quickly becoming a growing threat to the U.S. NATO alliance and currently holds 25% of the world's population. It consists of China, Russia, and four other Central Asian countries. Russia is currently pushing right now for Iran to join, despite the fact that it would violate U.S. sanctions. India and Pakistan are looking to join in June, and even Turkey, a major U.S. NATO ally, is looking to join as well. So in considering the alternative financial network and globalist plan that's underway that we just recently talked about, could this really stand to challenge the U.S. NATO alliance? Or rather, how likely is it that we would see a major shift in global power? Could this ongoing geopolitical battle be what we have been seeing and feeling all along? That's what I kind of think might be the case. You know, a shift in who will be leading the globalist agenda. What are your thoughts, Tim?
Well, I mean, it definitely seems like if you were to line out the alliances for World War III, I think this would be the kind of dividing point between the countries you just mentioned and then kind of the U.S., NATO, Gulf states in the Arab and Israel as kind of the other one. So I guess you could throw in, you know, you have Australia and similar nations like that, Japan, but definitely sounds like, you know, there's a clear, it seems at least on the surface, that there's a clear divide of the West wanting to control both militarily and economically. And now you have this new cooperation agreement, which I'm pretty, from what I understand, is this military agreement as well as economic agreements. So you have someone finally standing up to NATO, it seems, and standing up to U.S. hegemony. And with all those countries combined, you know, you actually have a real threat and a real someone that can actually stand up and maybe hold their own.
Yeah, it's really hard to know. I want to know what the heck is going on with Turkey. They seem to switch sides every 2 weeks. I suppose they're on their own side and they're just going whichever way the wind blows. Yeah, it's just hard to know. Is this controlled opposition? Is this legit? I think this gets back to a running theme we've had over our past few shows, which is each of us have to work towards our own personal sovereignty. We can't look to Big Daddy government to defend our sovereignty. Give our sovereignty to the state to defend us, I suppose. It's just not going to work, you know. Whether or not this opposition is legitimate, each of us have to work on separating ourselves from the system of the state.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, you're right, it's definitely something that's been a kind of overarching topic for us. But I think that's not necessarily because that's what we're talking about, but more so because that's what's relevant behind the scenes right now. And I think that that's what, in a lot of ways, what they're trying to keep people from paying attention to, which is exactly why we're bringing it to the front and center. One thing that this should show us is that the globalist agenda seems to be the overarching plan. And for those of us that have been really paying attention, that is not any new information. Governments, profits, and leaders aside, those massively powerful entities behind the scenes of all the geopolitical moves have a pretty clear goal that for anyone that's paying attention right now is it's currently front and center on the world stage. And I think it's pretty easy to pick out if you're watching these shows, if you're watching any independent media that is calling attention to all the things that pretty much everything they're accomplishing today is meant to distract you from. And this is pretty humorous at the end of the day, even though it's sad, ominous, and humorous at the same time. The NSA now claims it will stop American data. Now, this is not the first time we've heard this. And then days later, mainstream media actually proved that it has still not stopped, which I find ridiculous in its own right. But this is nothing new. We've talked about this before. Right now, as far as I can tell, the events have so far gone where they denied it. Then they said they stopped. Then they said, oh, well, we didn't stop. Now we're allowed to share with everybody. We passed a new bill. Now they said they stopped again. Now they proved that they haven't stopped. That's really as ridiculous as this has gone. Part of me says this is just meant to distract us, like a lot of things we're seeing. But I mean, first of all, before I get ahead of myself, we have to acknowledge the fact that, look, what they just said right there, the NSA claims that it will stop illegally collecting data. That is an admission of guilt. But that doesn't mean anything because it's not like government institutions get held accountable in this country. They clearly just said they've illegally done something and nothing will happen. That aside, this, what do you think this shows us about American rights as a whole? And I think the three of us are kind of on the same page when it comes to this, but what we're doing right now with this show shows us that we have, to some degree, constitutional rights in this country. But what we talk about every week is the fact that they are slowly diminishing, slowly dissolving, and that if you don't talk about it now, we'll wake up one day and they'll be gone. So what does this show us right now where our constitutional rights currently are and how transparent things have become? What are your thoughts, Jay?
I think our constitutionally protected rights are a mere inconvenience, and they just have to put up a facade of respecting them, which means that the government is off the reservation. It is not acting within the bounds of its own constitution. So it, by definition, is an illegal organization. It's not living up to its agreement. It's really, considering the power that this entity has, it's fairly terrifying. You know, we're not just talking about the military, we're talking about the police, Department of Homeland Security. If they're just not going to do what they say they're going to do, that's not good. With regards to the mainstream media, calling this out, I can only see this as an attempt of mainstream media to try to reclaim some sort of credibility, because they lost a lot of credibility with the Trump election, but now they're backpedaling and they're trying to get it back. Fox News is trying to be seen as the one channel that's telling the truth to the right wingers, but then there appears to be an agenda for Trump to manifest the fake reality that the more liberal channels had been harping on before the election. So it's crazy world. Yeah, good luck, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a joke, to be honest. I mean, the only reason I think they put that story out there is just to be like, see, we were not doing it. I mean, that's pretty much it. So they could kind of point to that story and be, I mean, to me, it sounds like a paid writer, you know, that's on the payroll. I put this story out. We'll make these statements. It's like a public relations piece more than anything else. And if you're really looking into it deep, you know, you could pretty much just laugh. If they're already doing it illegally, and then we should take their word for it. I mean, what happens when we take their word for it? I mean, how many times you got to get burned before you just stop believing them? I mean, in terms of our rights, I mean, from what I understand, the Patriot Act is still, you know, is still out there. And so I'm pretty sure the Constitution, to a certain degree, is suspended still. There is the, you know, it's kind of like a state of emergency for the government. So I wonder how that works beneath the scenes. I don't really know, to be honest. But clearly, we're moving to more and more state power. I believe Trump even made some statements about the Constitution being in the way to a certain degree. They're trying to find outward stories to make us give up our own rights. You know, they're trying to basically want us to give up our rights for security. I mean, we talk about that all the time. You know, unless more people wake up, I really fear what might happen down the road in terms of free speech, in terms of gun laws, in terms of vaccinations and what you put in your body. I mean, those all seem like things that the state is slowly encroaching upon and trying to take over. But, and people are wanting it. A lot of people want guns to be taken away. A lot of people want forced vaccinations. You know, a lot of people want these laws on free speech. And they're thinking that's science, that's evolution. I mean, that's how ridiculous it's getting.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a distraction. I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind when I saw it, because, you know, I mean, first of all, it's pretty absurd the process it's gone through, where they know that people know that they've lied. I mean, that's on the table. But I think, first of all, they put it out there because they know that there's a certain percentage of people that will immediately allow themselves to be reassured by that lie, because they want to, or they still believe mainstream media. They know there's a faction that they will get to. But then they know that there's a lot of other people that will immediately be caught up in this. I mean, even the fact that we're spending 2 minutes talking about it is, you know, that we're caught up in that distraction. Despite the fact that we're discussing that it's a distraction, it's still distracting from bigger ideas. And I think that's part of a lot of what the news bites that get sent out are about. And it's just, but that's why we're pointing it out, that this stuff is clearly meant to divert your attention. And we have to start at least realizing that in the moment. And but like Tim had pointed out, I was going to save this for some of the Trump news, but it is definitely relevant that Donald Trump just said that the Constitution, quote, and its archaic system is a really bad thing for the country. That's a quote. Now, we know Donald Trump, and we know his ability to just kind of speak, you know, kind of just off the cuff and not really evaluate what he's going to say before he says it. But that's almost a Freudian slip in my mind. I mean, the idea is that the Constitution in Trump's world is a good thing when it helps him. It's a bad thing when it stops him. He was good for what Trump wants at the end of the day. I mean, we've seen that pretty clearly. And sometimes what Trump wants is good for the country, and sometimes it's good for Trump. And clearly the Constitution has been stopping him, at least in the regard that, you know, he has to deal with with Congress and things like that. And so now he's getting frustrated and having to go through the few limitations that actually currently applied to the executive branch. But I mean, I think this just has to show us that where we're headed at the end of the day. I mean, the fact that he can even say a statement like that, I mean, there are constitutionalists out there that just let their heads were spinning. I mean, it's showing us clearly that the Constitution, that there's been a war against the perception of the Constitution for a very long time. And we have to be aware that our rights are slowly dissolving, whether that's for security or whatever reason they want to throw at us. That should not happen. And we have to realize that. Let's move on to some other foreign policy news. It has been revealed yet again that United States forces are fighting alongside Al-Qaeda, this time in Yemen. And just yesterday, the House has backed new sanctions on North Korea, despite the fact that the U.S. does the same thing it demonizes North Korea for. Yet this would not be the first time the U.S. has taken such a hypocritical stance. In Syria, U.S. troops have been deployed at the border to prevent Turkish and Kurdish forces from clashing, both of which are U.S.-backed forces. So it's interesting. Is this a ploy to justify a larger force on the ground? Is this planned? Or is this just a clear example of the complete lack of organization and control currently underway on the ground in the war-torn country of Syria? What are your thoughts, Jay?
I think it's going to serve two purposes, probably more that I'm missing. But first of all, it will be a PR win for the U.S. to battle back ISIS. It'll make them look like they're doing what they say they're doing. But secondly, it's going to drive back the ISIS Kurdish forces into Syria, back, so that the Syrian government forces are going to have to deal with them. So they won't be fighting the Americans directly. They'll be fighting the Kurdish forces directly. And, you know, give them a hard time there. And and then you got to wonder what with the latest developments and agreements with Turkey, how is that playing into this? Is Turkey now not on the U.S. side? I guess not. I don't know. I guess we'll see in a couple weeks. Maybe they'll join forces. Or how's Russia going to figure into this? It's really hard to say. But I think the big play is they're trying to drive the Kurdish forces towards the center of Syria, so the government forces will have to deal with them.
Yeah, it kind of seems like, well, clearly they're trying to play two fronts at the same time. They're trying to find the public relations front, which is that they're fighting ISIS, while at the same time they're trying to take out Assad. And so, you know, I think sometimes they have to give a cookie to one side. Sometimes they got to give a cookie to the, you know, well, they got to give a cookie to the actually fighting ISIS side. And then, you know, while they covertly keep working on their real plan, which is to stabilize the region, take out, you know, Assad, build the pipeline, you know, so sure there's several other factors, but it seems like they get caught and sometimes they got to throw a bone just to look like on the world stage that they actually are fighting ISIS, which clearly they're not. But yeah, the whole Turkey situation is very interesting. obviously the Turks don't like the Kurds, and the Kurds, from what I believe, are fighting Assad. And so that creates kind of a conflict of interest and a conflict of alliances for the U.S. And then you have the whole attempted coup. Was that the U.S.-backed coup, or was that, I don't know, was that caused by Erdogan himself? So I don't know. Turkey's a very interesting geopolitical country right now.
Yeah, there's definitely some interesting dynamics at play here. On a side note, according to Syrian Girl, or Partisan Girl, as she recently changed her name, the U.S. apparently gave Turkey intel in order to avoid killing U.S. troops and to only kill Kurds. So that's very interesting. The fact that they're essentially splitting their allegiance between two groups that are supposedly supporting U.S. forces. So I find that a very interesting dynamic there, that there's more at play here than we see. And I think, to me, it stands out that clearly anything's going to be used to get more forces on the ground. I know that that's clearly something we say we don't want to do, but all of our actions show that that's what we want to do. Put more people on the ground, control more of the, you know, more of what's going on the ground. And so this just seems like maybe a ploy to get that to happen, to make it seem more chaotic. But we'll just have to see how this plays out, and see how this especially plays out between these two forces that are now, that this information is getting out, could cause quite an issue for United States forces on the ground. On more news on the ground as it pertains to U.S. soldiers, in the past week, U.S. soldiers have lost their lives in both Afghanistan and Iraq. These are the ones that have been made public and that could not be kept secret. We have seen 433 people killed in Iraq in April alone. Now, this includes combatants, but this is getting a little out of control, and I'm going to keep bringing this up every week until I feel like it's being properly addressed. The fact that I still don't see an answer to why we think it's okay to indiscriminately kill civilians because we are not at war. I don't even know what the answer is. Like, it's pretty crazy that we're not saying we're not at war, yet we're bombing and killing civilians. And basically every single time we're doing some kind of a bomb or airstrike, we're killing civilians. I find that just astronomical that we can allow that. Now, this war in Syria has been a messy one, one with many different agendas at play and with many different groups attempting to take control, or at the very least profit from, the country of Syria as it's overthrown. Or so is the current plan that even the U.S. no longer denies. Yet they weakly claim it is for some vague and historically inaccurate desire to spread democracy. One of the hinging factors in the Syrian conflict that has quickly broken into the mainstream conversation, if only to dispel its possibility, and due almost entirely to independent media, is that of the false flag. This is a term that is still ridiculously named a crazy conspiracy theory, despite its historical documentation both in the world and U.S. history. The powers that be would have Americans believe that such a thing is simply not possible. And yet, we have a case of a German soldier who just posed as a Syrian asylum seeker to carry out terror attacks and blame it on refugees. This was a man that was planning on posing as a Damascus fruit seller and even got documentation with fingerprints. He planned on taking out problematic political leaders while leaving behind his fingerprints that would lead back to his false identity, ultimately blaming refugees and Syria as a whole. So this man actually wrote a paper on political change and subversion strategy. Very interesting. So was this the insane actions of just one man, as they will no doubt sell it, or was this just the evolution of a string of false flags designed to continue the fear needed to maintain a never-ending war? What are your thoughts, Jay?
Yeah, I don't think it was just the actions of an individual or a few individuals. I have to think this was a state-sponsored operation that got busted. It's been turned over to the chief prosecutor or whatever of Germany, and I'm sure they're going to bury it and pin it all on this one guy. They arrested one other accomplice as well. They found him with bombs in his apartment, that sort of thing. And they're saying, oh, it's some right wings, and they're doing it because they hate immigrants. I mean, come on, that's pretty absurd. I think they're trying to continue the strategy of tension, trying to keep their people fighting each other so they can't fight the people that are really, really keeping them down. So I don't believe for a second this is just an isolated plot. I think it was state sponsored. Now it's going to be interesting to see what the German people think about this, because it does seem like the German people are a bit more woke than the U.S. Seems like they're a bit more aware of what's going on. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Jay, and I'd have to even wonder how this even came out. I mean, is this whole story just to make it look like basically the government are a bunch of neo-Nazis and they're trying their hardest to get rid of immigrants? And I wonder if it's just a political story to show that there are factions that are so anti-immigrant and just to try to show sympathy for the immigrants. And like Jay said, I totally don't think this was an isolated incident. And I even personally wonder how this even got into the media. And you just have to wonder about implanted stories and what they might mean, because there's just too much precedent of that. And usually these things about false flags don't get into mainstream press like this, or even call it false flag.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one reason why this should definitely stand out to us, is that it's clearly this either didn't go the way they planned, or this was what they wanted us to see. I think ultimately, whether or not this was just one crazy man or, you know, an organized actions of an elite cabal, knowing that this type of direct manipulation and deception is being carried out even by one man, how can we allow the U.S. to move forward with military action without seeing any tangible or verifiable proof whatsoever, like we're seeing in Syria right now, like we saw in Iraq? How can we continue to take the U.S. government's claims about Syria, Russia, or North Korea at face value? I mean, how can we not even ask that question? All while they continue to openly suggest that such a false flag like we just saw almost play out is the creation of wild conspiracy theorists, despite its documentable history. The bottom line is we shouldn't question everything, because these days everything is questionable. I mean, I think it's not just these days. I mean, everything's questionable. We should always be questioning our authority, our government. I mean, that's what this country was founded on, or at least what we were told it was founded on. We just need to be, you know, questioning this stuff, asking questions, especially whether or not our constitutional rights even apply anymore. And I think that's something that is pretty clear, obvious answer today, but that's, we need to ask it so we wake more people up. On that lovely note, let's roll into some devil's advocate. So this week on Devil's Advocate, it's a pretty easy question, but it's a question that I'd like to ask nonetheless, because I feel like it is very important to show a difference, or rather a next level of how things can be manipulated. I want to ask whether these stage protests that we've been seeing, and we've been talking about in the last couple shows about how, you know, essentially both sides are being orchestrated. So are these paid protesters being orchestrated to violent ends, to not just manipulate the people and showing them that there's chaos and divide each other, but rather to take that a step further and to sell that manipulation to the police themselves, to sell the idea of a war against police to the police, to then further that move and to further the militarization of the police and pretty much further everything they're trying to accomplish on the ground level. What are your thoughts, Jay?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the more important divide and conquer strategies that the deep state can pull. Because what if we got the police on our side? What if we had the police marching with us to Washington or to state capitals? What if we had police going in and making arrests of these corrupt officials? They would have no defense. You know, they might have their private security. You know, what if we had them on our side? You know, after all, these corrupt politicians, these people pulling the strings, they're just men and women. They're just flesh and bone, just like us. So they need their dogs, as they call them, on a leash. They have to have control of the people with the military gear. And so I think that's a very good observation. I also think it's a preemptive strike to make, these Antifa protesters and the Trump supporters, they look ridiculous. They don't look like anybody that your average American would want to associate with. And so I think this is a preemptive strike against future populist uprisings, because, hey, I don't want to be like them. Go watch the YouTube videos of these guys. They look just silly. I mean, this can't be real. It's absolutely ridiculous, and nobody would want to associate with them. It's similar to the operations back in the 60s and early 70s to try to blunt the protests against the Vietnam War, which was a pretty mainstream thing until they framed that as, oh, that's something these crazy hippies are doing, and nobody in the mainstream wanted to associate with them. So, and then they further destroyed them with the war on drugs. You know, they got them get them all into smoking weed and taking acid, and then make that illegal, and you can go in with your dogs and break them up. So very, very clever, these people in power. But it's, I think, multifaceted media event. It's a little entertaining to watch, I suppose, but there's definitely a purpose behind it.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with the police. I mean, the last thing they want is the police to come onto our side. Not only the police, but the military. I mean, that's really the barrier between us and them. If the police were on our side and the military was on our side, well, then that's basically how coups are done usually, is that the military and police switch sides and they go in and arrest the government, the officials, the corrupt businessmen or whatever. I mean, it's of utmost importance to mind fuck them into thinking that there's a war on them. Like, if they're fearing for their lives, they're going to trust most of the time their institution. To me, this is pretty clear that's a main objective for them. They want to manufacture that culture to make sure that the police are loyal to the established system.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's pretty clear that if there were no actions like we're seeing currently at the citizen level, such as Antifa versus Trump supporters or whatever, to bring it to a violent level, there would be no need for such a militarization of the police. And I think that's pretty apparent. I mean, what are they being militarized for? Those type of actions. It's not like they're breaking down doors to arrest people in their home. Well, they are doing that, but they wouldn't be able to justify that if it wasn't for these violent uprisings in the streets. And I think that's exactly the plan, right? That they create it so they have a justification. And that's like with anything. But it's also interesting to consider the fact that the idea, like the military, they saw how successful they were at basically turning the military into a cult. They get this doctrine into their brains, and it's like a cult. They're unable to disobey. And it's the same way we're seeing with police today. And they actively seek out and bring in the certain kind of people that they feel are just right for that type of manipulation. And I mean, I know for some people, I know that just seems like a wild thought, but it's pretty much verified. I mean, there's been police officers and military personnel that have spoken out about this exact type of plan. So I definitely think that what we're seeing on the ground is a ploy on many different levels, and that this is essentially designed to convince the police themselves that what they're doing is righteous, that they are defending the empire against the evil citizens trying to overthrow them. And that's, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you get where they're coming from. But at the same time, I think that what we need to do and what we are doing is actively start to try to speak to these individuals and show them that they're part of the citizenry. They are not part of that percentage. They are not part of the elite cabal. They are not in that group as much as they try to convince them that they are. And we need to get them to see that. But let's roll into some Trump news. So this week on Trump News, Alexandria Acosta confirmed as the new Secretary of Labor and was responsible for letting pedophile Jeffrey Epstein off with a slap on the wrist. Another successful appointment by the Trump administration. The White House has just passed a $1.1 trillion spending bill, which was interesting. Essentially, the Republicans were held hostage by the Democrats for multiple different things in the past weeks to pass certain spending bills, one of which was the repeal and replace healthcare bill, which recently passed the House, but essentially still needs 51 votes from the Senate to be official. What are your thoughts on that, Jay?
I mean, first, it's disgusting that the pedophiles are being defended. For more visibility on that, I suggest people go to the Pedogate forum on Reddit or the Pizzagate forum on vote.co. As far as the spending bill, yeah, hooray. So we have the US dollar is inflated by another $1.1 trillion. I mean, it's just another grab out of everybody's pockets and bank accounts. So now your dollar is worth just a little bit less. The healthcare bill. Well, you know where I stand on that. Everybody should take responsibility for their own healthcare. Your body's health is not something that you should outsource. Learn how to eat correctly, learn how to take care of yourself, exercise how you need to, and don't avoid seeing a doctor if ever you can. They have a profit motive to recommend unnecessary surgeries. I've had it done several times in my life. I'm supposed to be in a wheelchair right now because a doctor wanted to fuse three vertebrae in my neck, when all I really had to do was some simple exercises that my yoga teacher taught me. And I'm playing jiu-jitsu again. I never thought I'd do that again. I thought I was done. So say about that.
Yeah, it's very interesting that the passing of these bills. I mean, I recently just saw in other news that Puerto Rico just declared bankruptcy officially, and which is interesting because, I mean, they're in debt, I think, 132 billion. And it just seems very interesting that we would allow that to happen as a United States territory, yet we can pass a $1.1 trillion spending bill. What's $132 billion on that? It just seems kind of interesting that we would allow that to take place. But there's just so much politics at play here. It's pretty ridiculous that it just seems that there's really personal agendas that are trying to be accomplished rather than what's best for people. I mean, knowing that we can allow that to happen with the citizens of Puerto Rico, it's been going on for years now, but we allowed it to happen. But I mean, other flip-floppy news for Donald Trump, he recently reversed on NAFTA, and then he also declared, I'm a nationalist and a globalist, which I don't even see how that's possible. But I'm sure Tim has something to say about that. What are your thoughts, Tim?
I mean, it's just, I don't even know if Trump has a concrete stance on anything. I don't even know. I think he just literally just says whatever he wants to on that day or whatever his advisors want him to say. I can see how it's kind of possible, though. I'll explain my reasoning. Like, if you can be for national sovereignty, but try to work on cooperating agreements with other countries. I mean, I those have to be more voluntary to a certain degree. I don't know. There's a line, though, between, you know, what if two countries want to get along and protect each other? I guess you probably need some type of formal agreement just to set it in stone. So I don't think it's just always black and white like that, but, you know, in terms of Trump, I mean, it's just another, it's just, he doesn't even have any real fundamental principle. He's not even, I don't think he has any. It's hard to even take him serious at all anymore. I don't even know why I ever even did.
It's almost like he's a reality TV show actor, huh? Almost.
Right. That's so funny. And it's interesting that is, how does that not play into what we discuss? I mean, the guy was not only an actor, but I mean, it's just, it seems like we are surprised at the traits that should exactly correlate with who he was before he was president. And it's very interesting. He recently just also said that it could have been China that hacked the election. I mean, I feel like a lot of this stuff is just meant to intentionally muddy the water so nobody really knows what's going on. Hey, and maybe he's a genius. Maybe that's his plan all along to get us to never really know what's happening. So with everything that we've gone over today, what could we possibly be missing?
Well, I think it was yesterday, the day before, was the third anniversary of the massacre in Odessa, where the bunch of West-friendly Kiev fascists locked a bunch of Russian-friendly fellow countrymen into a building, locked the doors. They had the fire extinguishers removed ahead of time and the fire hydrants cut off, the water supply cut off, and they firebombed them and burned them alive. So that's not something that should be forgotten. In the Western news, it is spun as anything from a terrible accident, just a tragedy, but both sides were to blame, all the way to, I've also seen, oh, it was the people in the building were throwing Molotov cocktails at the crowds outside, and they caught their own building on fire and burned themselves, and they kind of deserved it. So, yeah, it holds a special place for me because this is one of the events. Not only is my family from that area several generations back, but also the coup in Ukraine is really what woke me up. When I saw the difference in how Western and Eastern media were reporting this, it kind of something clicked in my head and suddenly everything made sense from JFK to 9/11. It all made sense. So I see those people as martyrs, if that's not too loaded a term, but they, in their deaths, it woke me and I think a whole lot of other people up.
Yeah, for me, I think one thing I've been watching very closely is the cryptocurrency markets. They've been absolutely exploding over the last two months, especially the last month, last week, 2 weeks. I mean, just the whole space has just exploded. Bitcoin at all-time highs. Ethereum, which I wrote about if anyone wants to check that out, I mean, is at an all-time high. Bitcoin's market cap is at an all-time low, actually, in the cryptocurrency space, even though its price is at an all-time high and its market cap's at an all-time high. So you see, you're starting to see the whole space fill out more. And yeah, there are more things to talk about cryptos. You know, I heard there's the UN might adopt Bitcoin and Ethereum. I'm seeing some big investors talking about getting their portfolios and adding some cryptos into there. So it does look like big money's getting into there. Obviously, this is not financial advice, but there is, you know, an opportunity, I think, for some people to, you know, there was already, but, you know, I think there's still room for people to get in if they want. But an interesting space. I'm sure there's corruption going on in it, and that's something I want to explore more going into the future. But again, something that I think a lot of truthers should be looking into, maybe even starting their own blockchain. The blockchain technology in general is a very, in my opinion, revolutionary technology that could actually help build the new system that the truth community wants. I'm not saying it's one of these currencies, but it has the ability to really revolutionize economic systems and governance structures. It's actually very interesting how these decentralized currencies are forming governance structures. They're all different. And it's really kind of a good analogy to how we might want to form governance structures in a decentralized model. So it's very interesting. Hopefully I'll be doing some more research into those areas.
Yeah, all the things to pay attention to. The things that pop into my mind are, for instance, issues like, you know, we've covered a little bit on the website, but never really got a lot of attention from the media. Things like what's happening in the Democratic Republic of Congo with cobalt and a very, very valuable mineral that's used in a lot of cell phones and batteries and things like that, that comes from only one place in the world, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and how we're literally watching a U.S. puppet essentially try to extend his presidency and the people. I mean, there's a lot going on there that's getting zero attention. And I think that stands out for a lot of reasons. I just saw Apple was having an issue with cobalt, how having an issue with child labor. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with that that gets zero attention. To me, that shows you that that's something that is a big deal, that especially with where we're progressing in our society with technology and how that plays a very important role to who controls. I think that's why we're not seeing it in the news. Or for instance, I mean, what's going on with North Korea right now is getting a lot of attention, yet we fail to address what really happened there in our history with the North Korean War. And it's something that people fail to really understand, that the United States committed war crimes during the war, again, that was not a war, supposedly. As The Intercept quoted saying that we killed 20% of the population during a bombing campaign that essentially, it basically bombed the entirety of North Korea without any concern for civilians. I mean, and this is what created the construct of today. And these are things that people are trying to get out there in the news stream, but that no one is paying attention to. Or even something that we talked about in a previous show about what's going on in Venezuela. Things in the world that seem to have ties to the bigger geopolitical moves to any attention, and we should be asking ourselves why that is, and researching them, looking into them, trying to find answers for ourselves. As always, do your own research. Don't just take what they're selling. Check us out on Patreon. We cannot do this without you. As we know, we told you in the last so many shows, we no longer have funding from any kind of a Google product, fully funded by the people. So check us out on Patreon. Even $1 a month will really help us out. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook, and always follow the change, be the change. All right, start again.